Now, as you know, that we are coming back to normal, but not really that normal, starting from first Sunday in September, our roster is kicking in. And we are getting the roster and it's done so that we will know who will be serving. And next Sunday, what day is that? Father's Day. And so we are encouraging you to come to church. And we have a special gift next Sunday, not for the father, but for the family, because we didn't give any gift for the mother. We don't want to make them angry. So what we're going to do this time, we'll give the gift for the family, for every family, you know. And it's, as usual, we always give you a practical gift. And what is it? Find out next Sunday. Wednesday night, we have our prayer meeting. Come and join us in the Zoom. Yeah? And Friday, we have the powerhouse, and it's also on Zoom. If you have that bookmark, we'll tell you which powerhouse you can join. And we want to see new powerhouse being raised in this place. But if you remember, last month I told you that I'm planning for three special studies on three very nice topics. And the first one, the bookmark is outside there. The first Zoom will be on the 11th of September. And I have got three theologians. They are Dr. Ashley Crane, Dr. Richard Roy, and Dr. John Yates. And these people are thinkers, you know. And they are properly trained, you know, in the Word of God. So, starting from the 11th of September, I have first one is Dr. Ashley Crane. At 7:30, he's going to talk about New Testament and tithing. I think this is something that contemporary Christians argue a lot about it. I think sometimes people argue over things that are nonsense, unnecessary to argue. So I'm getting him because Pastor Ashley is a Jew. He's also a rabbi. So he is very well versed in the Old Testament. So what does the New Testament and tithing? He's going to say there. And I got Pastor Richard on the 16th of October. He's talking about one subject called Once Saved, Always Saved. Today there are so many thoughts about it and so many interpretations. Let's come back to the Bible. What does the Bible say? And after that, if you want to stand where you are, it's up to you. But we want to come back to the Bible. And then Dr. John Ye. Dr. John Ye was my lecturer in Temple Bible School. He lectured me. He lectured Pastor Kara. He lectured my wife, Pastor Pauline. And he is a lecturer who always said this. What about the cross? He always said, everything you want to think, you want to talk about, go back to where? The cross. If you see it to the cross, what does the work of the cross declare? And so, he's a very deep thinker. You know, sometimes when I sit there and hear his lecture, I just want to put my hand on his throat. I can't understand you. You are so deep. But actually, fact, as you sit down and think, actually, fact, what he brings forth is quite powerful. Going back to the cross, the work of Jesus Christ. And so he will be talking about election and predestination. So all of this, the bookmark is out there, is on Zoom. Are you not glad that we have Zoom? That we can get people outside of WA to come and speak into our life? You know, I pray that all this that we are looking at will not add knowledge and information to you. If it does, then we have not done our job. My prayer is all this will help you and transform you to understand the God who loves you and living your life for Him. Amen. Okay, let's come to the Word of God. And I'm glad that my computer, my iPad is working. And my message today is, what about tomorrow? How many of you all look towards tomorrow? Come on, put up your hand. I'm telling you, a few years ago when I was going through a very dark patch in my life, I don't think any of you realize that. Sometimes being a pastor, when you go through those times, you can share with no one except your dear wife. And then when you share with your dear wife, you wonder whether will she love you after sharing the dark patch. And when I was going through the dark patch, my inspiration, my strength was always looking for tomorrow. Because tomorrow can be the day of miracle. Tomorrow can be the day that my prayer can be answered. Tomorrow can be the day of hope. You know, but you can also go through those dark patches where tomorrow can be a day of more worries, more anxiety, and more frustration. But of course, there are some people, what is tomorrow to them? Tomorrow is nothing. These are the people who live life as a straight line. You know what is it to live life as a straight line? You know what it is? When you look at your heartbeat, and your heartbeat is a straight line, means you are what? You are dead. There are people who live life not looking for tomorrow. Tomorrow is nothing to them because their life is already what? Dead. Nothing to look for. All I'm looking is one day I kick the bucket and I go. But then, if we understand the Bible tells us that tomorrow is not in our hand. It is in the hand of God. God gives us breath. And every breath that we have is a loan from God. God gives us breath for yesterday. You know how many times did you breathe yesterday? You lost count, right? You never count because to you, breath is so natural. But breath is the loan of God. He gave us breath yesterday. He gave us breath today. And only He can give us breath well, tomorrow. Tomorrow is not in our hand. It's in the hand of God. And here in James chapter 4, where we're going to read later on, James talk about tomorrow. And as Christians, we know that God holds tomorrow. Say amen to that. And now when He holds tomorrow, He holds tomorrow with this great promise to each one of us sitting here. He promised this, I know what I am doing. Say amen to that. Now many of us don't know what we are doing. I hope you know what you are doing, but sometimes we do not know what we are doing. But God said, I know what I am doing. I have it all planned out. That means, the day you are born to the day you die, God has your life planned out. That nothing happened to you by chance, by coincidence. God said, I have it all planned out. Planned to what? Planned to destroy you? No. Planned to make your life difficult? No. Planned to give you a hard time? No. I think we need to start to think differently of how we see God. He said, I have it all planned out, planned to take care of you. Say amen to that. You know, sometimes the sparrows in the air look at us and they say to us, I wonder do we have the same heavenly Father? Because the sparrow in the air knows that the Father will provide for them. He said, I have this plan, planned to take care of you, not abandon you. Amen. I mean, sometimes you do feel abandoned, don't you think so? Sometimes you feel abandoned. Sometimes you feel so lonely. Sometimes you feel, I think God, you forgot. I'm still here. Have you ever felt that way before? Come on, put up your hand. Be honest. I know I saw the smile means you have, but you dare not put up your hand. Because you have all this emotion. But God said, I not abandon you. Plan to give you the future you hope for. Therefore, every hope you have for tomorrow, God said, I have a plan for you. So when we talk about tomorrow, we are assured that tomorrow is in the hand. Whose hand? God's hand. And what is his hand? It's not a hand that pauses you, that presses you. It's not a hand that suppresses or oppresses you. It's a hand that says, I care for you. I will lift you up. I will sustain you. I will provide for you. And I will love you. So when you see tomorrow, when you face tomorrow, when you think about tomorrow, you need to trust him. Trust him for your tomorrow. And I know tomorrow will be good because of what? Because God is what? God is good. That is his nature. So, let's turn to James chapter 4. James said in chapter 4, verse 13 to verse 17, what about tomorrow? He said in verse 13, come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. Where else you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanish away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live. We shall live and do this or that. But now, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Father, we pray and you will just speak to us through your words as we look at your words of promise, your words of life, your words that is eternal, O God. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. James is saying that it's unwise not to plan for tomorrow. Even though God is in control, even everything in your life, everything that takes place in your life is with his knowledge. The Bible says even your what? Your hair is numbered. Some people got more hair than others. Is numbered, you know. And when we think about tomorrow, James said, it's unwise not to plan, but it's also unwise to plan your tomorrow with these three common mistakes. Mistake number one is planning without God. Planning without God. Here, James talked about the first illustration about two or three business people. And it could be you, two of you, or three of you having a conversation. And they had this conversation. Well, what's this conversation? You know, that goes this way. Now listen, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Now, that's a good plan, don't you think so? That's a great plan. But what is wrong with this plan? People make plan every day. You know, and here are just two people, or three of them, business people, those who want to go and get something in their life. They make all the plan. It looks so good, very detailed. When? Today or tomorrow? Where? This or that city? How long? 1 year. You know, and what will we do? Carry on business. Why? Make money. What's wrong with this plan? It's a great plan. Henry will tell you this is a necessary plan. If you are in business, then this is good plan. I think we all plan for our children. How many of you plan for your children? We all do. But what's wrong with this plan? You see, the Bible is not against planning. You know, the Bible is not against these people who wants to invest, who want to make profit, who wants to have gain. This is being a good steward of God. But the Bible talk a lot about planning. Planning for tomorrow, planning for the future, even though God holds our tomorrow. This man has all the plan, the when, the where, the how, and the why. And they, in their plan, covers every angle. And they cover everything. But one thing is missing. One thing they left out. One thing they never considered. They did not even consider. One thing that is totally out of their mind. That one thing, that single thing is they never mentioned about what? About God. Never mentioned about God in their whole plan. They knew what they want. I think some of us here know what we want. They knew how to get there. But they did not check out with God first. Don't misunderstand the Bible or misunderstood me. God wants us to plan. The Bible talks about planning. Planning is like when you have a plan, then as you take the step, God can what? Direct you. If you don't plan, how can God direct you? So you plan. Life is a journey. How many of you realize that? Life is a journey. And if you are going to take a life journey, a long journey, you need to what? You need to plan. Now, when I was in Sydney for a year, every now and then, my wife and me love to go and drive in Sydney. Sydney is not like Perth, say amen. Not so many car, not so many narrow roads. And Perth has nice driver. They don't horn at you if you don't go too fast. You know. And so, we plan. Okay, we're going to go here, we're going to go there. You know, during the daytime, in between, go and see a bit of Sydney. So we plan. And how do we get there? We use what? The map. Poor men do not have GPS. Poor men only have the map. And when you do use the map, there can only be one driver. Men always drive. We are a better driver. But you need a what? A navigator. One who reads the map. Never ask a man to read the map. They are hopeless. When I look at the map, I got to find out, is this here, that this direction, or that direction, or I should be looking at the sign. So I leave the map to my wife. We drive. And now Sydney is a place that if you miss something, it will take you half an hour or so to make a turn back. So it's very tense. And there are so many cars. So, and they want you to drive fast, and you can't miss the road, and you can't miss. So I asked my wife, you know, and she's pretty good. She's very good at chauffeur. I must say better than me. But one occasion, she missed it. And so I missed that Sydney Bridge, you know, the bridge where you got the big flag. I miss it. And when I miss it, I got angry because now I have to keep on driving until a long, long before I could make a U-turn back. So I start to make noise. You know what she did? She just closed the map. You are on your own. You know why I bought a GPS? And so in life, you need to plan. And then because your life is a journey, you need to plan. But then in all your planning, you must not forget what? God. When you plan, there's four P's that you must always remember. What do you do when you plan? First, you pray. You pray first, not plan first. Pray, then you plan. Say amen. So first P is pray. Second P is plan. Now some people, they are very good in planning, but they don't do the third thing. It's called practice. Do. They have all the big plan, but they never do. So you need to practice or do. Then the fourth P, you need to pray. You need to pray. You know, and so this is important because when you plan with God, you're putting God into your life. You're recognizing that I need you, O God. I can't do it myself. When you plan without God and go on your life with God, you become self-sufficient, self-reliant, and self-confident will enter to your heart, and you become like the rich fool in Luke chapter 12. This was the parable that Jesus taught to the Jewish audience. And the Jewish audience recognized one thing. You cannot leave God out of your life. Look at the rich fool. He said, I do this, I do that, I plant, I harvest, I tear, I build, and forgot about God who gave him the harvest and loaned him his breath. Why do I need to pray with God? Because if I want success, it comes from who? God. Because the breath that I have, this breath that I breathe, is from Him. So I always have to ask myself, am I living this breath, the next breath, the last breath that I have, am I planning and living for self or for God? You know, everybody can call themselves a Christian. Everybody can call themselves a disciple of Jesus Christ. It's not what you call yourself. It's how you are, how you live. Do you live like one? You know, and it's so important that we recognize that we need the God equation in our life. This is the God equation. I came up with this equation. You work it. If you can understand this equation, you become the best mathematician that you can solve problem. Life, death, birth to death, God over time, times 4P. Pray, plan, practice, pray, times E, the power of eternity, and by what? His purpose. Solve this math problem, you will have the answer to your life. You know, and then it's so sad. It's so sad because sometimes people can say, I'm a Christian. I believe in God. But they live their life and do everything by their own self. They never ask who? God. We need you. And so what is the solution? The solution is in verse 15. Verse 15, what does it say? Instead, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this and that. If. That's a big word. If. And you will realize that in your life, from L, the launching of life, when you came up from your mother womb, till E, the day they put you into the tomb, life has a lot of what? If. And some of us are living in the if world. You know, if gives you a lot of regrets, a lot of disappointment. But this is what he's saying to us, that remember in all your planning, recognize this, that it is God who brings things to pass, not yourself. You can plan, success comes from God. You can work, result comes from God. Everything comes from God. So recognize this in your life, that it is unwise not to plan, unwise to leave God out, because everything you are is from God. If the Lord's will. For hundreds of years, Christians, when they wrote a letter, when they signed the letter, they put the word capital D and capital V. D-V. That's the Latin word for Deo la viti. Simply means Lord's willing. That understanding, that we ought to respond to life. We plan with God, we pray, we practice, we pray, but the outcome belongs to who? Belongs to God. And you need to realize that if it belongs to God, whatever God gives to you, your portion is always the right portion. It's always the best portion. Because if you don't recognize that, you will be looking at other people and say, God, why I got this and the fellow got that? How many of you struggle with that? Recognize what God gives you is your portion, is always the best. Your part is not to be lazy, to do nothing. Your part is to pray, plan, practice, and pray, and allow God in His grace to bring you to the place that He intends for you, because He said, I do have a plan for you from the very beginning. So that's the first mistake they make. The second mistake they make is presuming about tomorrow. They think that they're going to live here forever. And I think what modern Christianity has done is that they have taught and preached Christianity as if we are living just for the now. How many realize that? Everything is about now. We don't talk about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't talk about what happened if you die. You know, we don't talk about what is to expect when life ends. So everything about life is about what? About now. And I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, you can be caught in the now, living just for now, planning just for now, doing everything for now, and forgot that now is only a speck of what? Eternity. I don't know about you. When you are young, you never think much about eternity. Because you wake up, you got energy, you want to do this, you do, you want to eat this, you eat. But as you reach a certain age, you got to force yourself up. Now, you want to do, you got to see, like, whether I got the strength to do. And you want to eat, you got to check, what about my sugar? But here was a group of people who presume tomorrow will come. That tomorrow they will still be as healthy, as strong. They can do whatever they want. Hear what James said. Why you do not even know what will happen tomorrow? What is life? You are a mist that appear for a while, a little while, and vanished. Tomorrow is a gift of God. Say that, amen to that. Nobody can assure about tomorrow. You know, it's like this group of people never expect COVID-19 to come. You know, the pastoral team, every year we sit down and plan. Okay, the beginning of the year, you know, we launch a team, we will be talking about this, then we will do this book, and then we will do that book. We plan. But this year, when COVID-19 comes, everything changed. Everything changed. We do not know, you know, why, where people are. And this is the people that James was talking about, they plan as if tomorrow is going to come. And James said, don't presume about tomorrow. James is telling us, plan your life for 1,000 years, but you can only live for what? You can only live a day at a time. And he said this, don't you know the uncertainty of life? Don't you know that life is so unpredictable? And this businessman was able to plan 1 year ahead. They were so confident, we will go there, we will stay there for a year, we will buy and sell and make a profit. And here James said, you do not even know. It comes from Proverbs 27 verse 1. Don't boast about tomorrow, since you do not know the day will bring. Life is uncertain to us, but not to God. So whatever we do, include God in our plan, include God in our today, include God in our tomorrow, because life is uncertain. But it does not mean because of the uncertainty of life that you should worry yourself to death. What does it mean? It means when you look at life, may it help you to love God more, to trust Him more, to obey Him more, to draw closer to Him more. And not to neglect Him. And I say, life is not only uncertain. Life is brief. He talked about life like a vapor. You know, today, right, morning you are here, by afternoon you are gone. And when you look at the Bible, describes life as a leaf, as a grass, as a shadow, as a cloud, as a puff of smoke, as a vapor. And all these things tell us that life is short. How do we measure our life? We measure our life by the birthday. Oh, I'm 64, going to 65. Next month, I'm 65. You know, so we measure by years. Bible do not mention life by years. This is what the Bible say in Psalm 90, verse 12. Teach us, O God, to number our what? Our days. Not our years, our day. Because all we can do when we look at life being brief and short and uncertain, all we can do is not to worry or not to be anxious. All we can do is what? Don't worry, be happy. And how do we don't worry, be happy? Because Matthew chapter 6, verse 34 says, so don't be anxious about what? About tomorrow. God will take care of who? Of your tomorrow. Live a day at a time. Amen? Is it not wonderful that life comes to you in 24-hour segment? And if you blew it, it's only 24 hours. You can still do something about tomorrow. And if you enjoy it, it's only 24 hours because tomorrow can be a different day. So even though you will have to call to plan your life for eternity, yet the Bible says you should also live your life what? A day at a time. Being heavenly minded, but an earthly what? Earthly good. Fine. The balance. So they make a mistake of planning with God, and they make the mistake that presuming that there is going to be a tomorrow. Instead, whatever we do, we can plan, but we can only live one day at a time in preparation for eternity. The third mistake they make, putting off doing good. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and does not do it, sin. Well, this is a hard one. This is a hard one. Putting off doing good. We call it procrastination. Someday I will start, someday I'm going to do it, but never do it. This word procrastination is a subtle trap. The attitude of someday I will. One of these days, but never do it. Presuming tomorrow, leaving everything to tomorrow and another tomorrow. I like this poem that says, procrastination is a sin. It only costs me sorrow. I know I ought to change my way. In fact, I will, I must. Starting from tomorrow. How many of you are like that? Now, when we say those who can do good and don't do good, to us is procrastination. Ah yeah, never mind, never mind. But God does not see it as procrastination. God calls you what? What does God call you what? Sin. It's a word that we all may not want to hear. What is sin? Sin is simply missing the mark. Missing the mark. So when we know that we ought to do good and we don't do good, God calls it sin. It's called what? The sin of omission. We omit it. We cancel it. Now, the Bible said that we ought to love one another. If you see someone who is in need, help them. You know, we need to bear one another. We need to care for one another. We need to be the light and salt. We need to share the gospel. We need to forgive. These are all the things we need to do. And they are good things. Don't you think so? But then the Bible says, if you know you ought to do good and you don't do it, it's called what? It's called sin. It may shock you. Then you have the sin of commission. What is the sin of commission? The sin of commission that you should not. You should not lie. You should not steal. You should not commit adultery. You should not. I mean, the God's Ten Commandment, the moral law is there. When you do it, it's called sin of commission. You should not, but you do. Sin of omission is you should do, but you never do, and you did not do. Can I encourage you? Can I encourage you? One of the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know, every time we have to have communion, the Bible said, self-examine yourself. I don't know about you. I need God's forgiveness every day. Why is it in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us of our sin as we forgive others? Because I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, when you talk about the sin of omission, we are all guilty. Hello? But I'm not saying this to make you feel condemned. I'm saying this to tell you, we have a God who loves us, that always continues to call us, obey me, follow me. So if someone comes to you and asks you for help, if it's within your capacity, do it. Don't say it later or tomorrow. Do it. This is what Proverbs tell us. Do not withhold good from those who deserve it. When it's in your power to act, do not say to your neighbor, come back later. I will give it tomorrow. When you have the ability, when you now have it with you. God, help us. Help us to do what we need to do. When do you forgive? Now. Now is the time to forgive. When do you release those who offend you? Now is the time. When do you join the powerhouse? Now is the time. Don't wait till that day. Don't wait till this one. Now is the time. Many things that God is asking you to do, even if it's a bad habit that you want to give up, do it now. When to give time to your family? Do it now. There are three things in closing that you can do in your life. Andrew, do you remember that? The first one. You don't remember yourself crying. How many of you remember? Yeah, you didn't learn to walk, you learned to crawl. Till the day where you can play the basketball, till the day that you can run and walk, and one day you become like the one with the walking stick. Till that time. There are three things you can do with your life. When you think about tomorrow, you can spend it. Now, you want to spend your life? Look at TV commercial. They will tell you how to spend your life. You want to waste your life? Then pursue things that is just for this moment. The things, the fame, the pleasure, all for this moment. But if you want your life to have a legacy and to have something that people will turn back and look at you, then I ask you to what? Invest. And where is the best place to invest your life? I tell you, invest in your life in something that will outlast you. And what is that? In God. And in who? In people. This is the best investment that you can put for your life. You know, and as you do that, you know that one day you're going to stand before God and you recognize that as you finish your journey, your tomorrow, even when you have to change address, when it comes and when it comes suddenly, you know one thing, you have lived your life planning with God. You have not presumed about tomorrow, but you have lived for today. And that you have made every day counts. And you wait, and you did not wait on the right time, but whatever you need to do, you do it what? Now. Why don't we pray? Jesus. Let's bow our head. You are God's children. You are His children because you have Him in your heart. He has put His Spirit in you. But don't make the mistake of forgetting God and leave Him out of your daily life. Whether it's your life, your work, your family, your marriage, you need to say to God, Lord, help me to plan my life with you. You know what is best for me. Direct my next path, my next choice, my next decision. Lord, help me to live one day at a time. Living not for myself, but for you and for eternity. To those who are called to do good, don't put it off. Don't think of some other time. Today is the day that God will help you to do what is right in His sight. Will you stand up with me as you lift your hand to Him? Sin of omission. I should do, but I didn't do. Would you say to Him, forgive me, Lord. Forgive me for not obeying you. I want to live my life. When I cannot do, Lord, the good thing that you call me to do, give me that strength to do. That one step to do will release His power over you to do. We stand before you as our Father and not our judge. We stand before you, opening our hearts to you, asking that your Holy Spirit will reach forth to touch the inner part of each one of us here. Lord, help us to trust you more and more. Help us to depend on you more and not on ourselves. Help us, oh God, to recognize our tomorrow is in your good hand. But you have put us here to fulfill only one thing, your purpose. Help us, oh God, to see you above self. Lord, forgive us of our sin of omission. From today forth, O God, help us to obey you. Even in his heart, O God, give us the grace to say yes to you. I ask, O God, release new strength into the hearts of your people, that their faith in you will be strong, their love for you will be bright, O God, and their hope in you, O God, will be rejoicing. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Don't be in a hurry to go.
Thank you, Lord.
Stay behind, have fellowship together. It's a good thing to do. The Lord bless.